From the Scythian as well, we have Gandias, Hirohotta, Vagelis Segridakis, Christy Spain, and special guest Giovanni Sepia. From ALAC, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr. From GNSO, we have Lyman Chapin. Oh, sorry, from the technical community. And expert on standardization, Jaap Akkerhuis. From staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordstrom, and Naila Saras.
Okay, thank you. And so everybody knows this is recorded, but there will be a transcript available as well for those who have not joined. So, okay, that's the administrative stuff. And probably this sounds better. Let me take you, I will not run through the whole document right now. Let me just explain what we've been doing, say, since a couple of weeks I sent out the confusingly similarity report. What we've done is updated the policy document as it was to include more process descriptions and the confusingly similarity. I'll just explain without going through the major changes, but I'll explain where they are. So it's the introduction itself. I think we've clarified this in section 3 of the document. We've included some open questions. In fact, two. One of them is on, the applicability, or if it's still valid, the Lehman RFC. So, but that's a question. So that's on the technical criteria. And another question is whether or not to include single character IDNs as recommended by the JIG, because that's still a pending issue we haven't discussed. So these are the open questions. The second major change is on the standard for confusing the similarity, and I will scroll through that part in a minute. The third one is we made explicit the placeholder for variants as discussed in previous meetings. Then in the processes, we've included a lot of, procedures and processes, a combination from the fast-track process here, as described in the IDNC working group, with the and in the implementation plan, and have updated it to reflect some of the experiences over time. The major ones are, I think we've clarified that the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs is not part of this overall policy, so that is according to its own policy and its own processes and procedures, because there appears to be some confusion with the community about this. A second bit, and I will go there in a minute as well, once we've singled out on the or focused on the confusingly similarity, is we've described the validation processes in more detail. So in the sense of both the staff and in the independent review, and we've explicitly now included in the overall policy the change withdrawal and termination of the request, which was in the implementation plan, but also included, an administrative closure of processes, because at sometimes you just need to close a request. And finally, in section 5, so that's the end, in the miscellaneous, we included a verification of the implementation plan, just to make explicit that, the implementation plan has to go through, through the CCNSO, and the transitional arrangement. So moving from the fast-track process rules into the, overall policy. So these are the major changes in this updated document. Are there any questions on this particular before we zoom in into the, say, the first major change that's a confusingly similarity? No, then I'll go to confusingly similarity. So better don't look at the screen because that's in section 3 on the criteria. If you're not here, and that's on page 9, confusingly similarity of IDN CCTLD strings, and it starts with Chris, do you want me to read it out, and do you want to take the discussion from here on this bit?
Sure, Bart, if you want me to. I mean, it's I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. I just need to adjust the volume here. So, page 9 of the document, is it section I, I think, is confusing similarity of IDN CCTLD strings, and there is a proposed change or addition, which is highlighted, I think, on the document. It certainly is on mine.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. And it refers specifically to, it says, confusingly similar strings are two different strings of Unicode characters whose appearance in common fonts in small sizes at typical screen resolutions is sufficiently close so that it is probable that a reasonable internet user who is unfamiliar with the script would perceive the strings to be the same or confuse one for the other. That is an addition to the previous version of the document, and as the footnote says, it's based on Unicode Technical Report 36, Section 2, Visual Security Issues. It is an attempt, I think, Bart, it would be fair to say, wouldn't it? It's an attempt to provide some more guidance, some more colour and depth to the to what we think is confusingly similar.
Yes, it should capture, and that was the attempt, I think, and that's pretty, and I think very important. It should capture, the discussion we had until now in the small group regarding confusingly similarity, and say on the one hand side the concerns that Lyman expressed on say that we need to safeguard and ensure the stability and security, and on the other hand side say some of the concerns from say, and that's one of the reasons why we have Giovanni on the call and Vagelis. And say some of the concerns about clarifying it to the community what is actually meant.
So I guess we need to take questions now, Bart.
Yes.
Well, we don't seem to have any questions.
Bart, can I comment something?
Yes, Vagelis, of course.
Although I'm quite okay with the addition of these four lines in the document, I would pretty much prefer if we added somewhere there that the Unicode characters that are about to be checked against each other are p-valid in RFC 5892, because otherwise we are checking against things that are not in the protocol, and they are not something that we should check against, because we don't know how the software is interpreting it or how the software is treating it.
Maybe, Vagelis, one question. Isn't that captured in the, say, if you scroll upstairs in the technical requirements?
Yes, but although in the technical requirements we say that the string should be selected to be p-valid against RFC 5892, the string that is actually being checked is not the same. It's not necessarily the same. It might be letters which are not allowed in the protocol.
So I don't mind adding it. It's the only is what is the best place to do it? Is it either in
after Unicode characters, I will add a comma and say p-valid in RFC 5892.
P-valid.
P-valid. It's six letters.
Yeah.
P-V-A-L-I-D.
Yeah, in RFC.
Might be helpful. Might be helpful for Gellis if you just send a note to the list just to confirm that information, and then we can get it sorted out.
Of course.
Thank you.
This is Lyman. It's at the moment the deliberation that's going on in the IAB and the IETF community would make me a little hesitant to explicitly call that out except by reference to an RFC, because it's possible that things that are not strictly p-valid according to 5492, or I'm not sure I got that right, might be acceptable in an IDN TLD string. I'd certainly want to check that before I just added that clause to the statement.
Of course, that's a suggestion by me, so you can check it against the technical reasoning.
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to do, and I agree that it's, you know, that we need to be careful in how we specify it. But I'm not certain that these IDN strings will be limited exclusively to strings that are p-valid under those rules. There may be other strings that contain characters that would be acceptable, and I would just want to go back and check and make very certain that we weren't sort of restricting the range further than we need to.
Okay, so I'm sending the proposal, and you can reply to that.
Yes, and I see Yap's hand up as well.
Yes, I mean, I would not specify exactly p-valid, because the whole IFC actually gives an algorithm how to get to the how to validate a proper character, and then has big examples, and so people might say when it's not in the example, you know, it's not p-valid, but you never know whether it will be p-valid in future, or new characters might pop up. I mean, I would be very careful how to refer to the IFC, so there's no confusion.
I found the text that currently describes the way in which the DNS stability evaluations will deal with this. It reads, the IDNA-derived property of every character in an IDN label must be protocol valid, p-valid, or contextual rule required, context J or context O. A string that contains one or more characters with the property context J or context O must be appropriate for the script and associated languages according to unambiguous contextual rules provided by the applicant. That's in the procedure spec that's going to be used for evaluating IDN new gTLD applications, and I understand and fully support the desire to, you know, have harmony between, you know, the way in which we're evaluating IDN ccTLDs and the IDN new gTLDs.
Is that publicly available, Lyman?
It is, yes. I'll find the the reference to the place where it's published and send it to you, and you can then forward it to the list.
Yes, thank you. That would be great, because, say, going downwards, before we start, I first close the discussion on this bit, because this is more about, it's in between the proposal we have to come to a methodology and, say, the standard itself, but I'll explain later on. Are there any other issues, questions relating to the the updated standard as included in in this section? No? So one of the things that we were proposing, and it is included in this section of here we are. In this section of, say, of the Commons itself, so it's not part of the policy, is that what we're suggesting is that as part of the implementation plan, the methodology to assess and say the more specific criteria are included and pre-published before the, say, the overall policy is becoming effective or becoming operational. Is that a way forward that the, say, the working group agrees to? Because it's one of the experiences I think the community had and everybody had with the fast track process is this perception of not knowing what is happening with say the reviews. Okay, then I think that's clear. So going back to Vangelis' point, whether to include it in the standard itself or whether we're going to include it in the implementation plan, that's the next step, because we have made some provisions here, and in, so I will go back when I scroll forward, or you will see it, is that the standard, say, the methodology for review has to develop, say, once we pass the overall policy. I think this is, that's more a operational, technical implementation phase than anything else. So, say, your suggestion, Vangelis, as long as we capture it, could be included in the methodology as well. Is that fine, or...?
I was texting the email and I lost you a little. Sorry, but can you please tell me again?
It's, if you look at the methodology, say, this is, we're talking about the standard itself. Say, what you were suggesting, could that be included in the methodology?
In page 10, let's say.
Yeah. Say, when we talk, say, you got the standard, but then there is the review methodology as well, to which Lyman just referred, and saying that's more the how the panel will look at the string, and once, say, if that is publicly available, then the applicant would know what is happening, and I think that was one of the, that's one of the things that was not clear from the implementation plan.
Of course it would be helpful, and it certainly is a major issue for the applicant to know in advance what is going to happen with the string. However, I would much more prefer it in the highlighted text in page 9.
But, okay.
I prefer to read the Lyman text. The text that Lyman referred to, because I'm really not familiar with it.
No, but as long as I will forward it to the list, and then if you can forward it, you're suggested to the list as well, then say we'll have it available, say, in Prague.
Of course.
Yeah? Okay, let's... I want to move forward now, Chris, to the changes in the, say, in the processes, again, to the specific...
You go ahead.
Yep. Okay. We are. I have to check, otherwise I drive you mad. If you guys scroll.
Well, you've already done that, so there's no.
It's on page 17. Yes, it starts on page 17. So I'll scroll down to page 17. Here we are. On the first part, what we've done is to provide a general description of the technical and string confusion review. Again, just to clarify for, say, based again on the experiences, in, say, what we've are suggesting, first of all, to the group, of course, is I think the on the one hand side you've got the technical panel, and on the second, the technical review, and then you have the confusingly similarity review, and this in future will be done at least by two independent review panels. And secondly, and that's probably, and that was part of the discussion, this came back under the review of the fast track process, is to have what is currently called the technical or the confusingly similarity review, and then only on the specific circumstances have a final validation review. Again, this is in order to try to balance all the interests involved, as we said above. Chris, do you want again to take this from here and explain a bit more of the background?
In respect to the additional reviews, Bart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, simply that we think that in discussion with community generally, we think that there needs to be a technical review, and there's no question about that. And we've talked at length to the technical community about the possibility of some kind of appeals mechanism in respect to that. And perfectly legitimately, the response has been that it undermines the, if you're going to review it on a technical basis, then it undermines the validity of the original technical review, and that's perfectly understandable. So the concept is to put in place a second level review that can be called on by the applicant, that is based on slightly different criteria built around perception. Now, it needs to be said, does it not, Bart, that at this stage we're still working on gathering the necessary information to see if this is feasible.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what we're doing?
Yes, but first step is again say the proposal will be, and this is captured in the document as well, that say the current the proposed panel will use the criteria and say a similar approach as currently the DNS stability panel review, again to safeguard as much as possible acknowledging there will be some, or minimizing the risks of string confusion, etc. The second step, and this is based on the discussions we had in Costa Rica, and thanks to Giovanni, is that we think that there is a valid point, and that's one of the changes we proposed in the standard itself, that the second panel should more look into, say, the perception of written characters. There is a whole field of, research, etc., in how people across scripts perceive written characters and whether they are considered confusingly similar or not, and say what the suggestion is, and we still need to do the research or more in-depth research and include, and that's why we suggested as well that the methodology needs to be involved, but this should be more or less, the role of the second panel.
Exactly. So I'm not sure whether I can add to that, but whether we'd best just go and go to discussion on it if people want to.
Yes, I think this is the proposal, so any questions, criticism, etc., please go ahead.
Hi,
Hi, Bart. It's Lyman.
Hi, Lyman.
Hi. First, it's good that we should point out that separating the technical review of the string from the confusing similarity review,
yeah.
That's a feature of the new GTLD program as it's set up right now. So that's a good way to have it. We've already taken the step of in the new GTLD reviews of separating those into two different places with two different independent panels. So that I certainly have no objection to that at all. I think it's probably going to be obvious to the people on the call, yourself included, that I see the addition of a second level review, this extended review, as a relatively transparent way to get around the decision of the first panel, which could, of course, obviously take into account all of the concerns about confusing similarity and new research and so forth that you just mentioned. And it goes back to a statement that's currently in the draft that essentially says that even if there is a situation in which there is a threat to the security or stability of the DNS, that other considerations, such as whether a community really, really wants that string, can essentially override that. And from a technical community standpoint, that's simply a non-starter. Every internet draft, IAB statement, going back to February, everything that's come out has reinforced what in the most recent internet draft, the Lehman draft, is referred to as the principle of conservatism, which is don't do something that might break the internet until you are absolutely certain that it won't. And, I've made this point before. I think that we should not be writing into our specs at this stage in the game provisions for essentially overriding concerns about security and stability on the basis that there's a user community that has a really strong desire to use a particular IDN string, and that somehow that should be considered to be equal to or a balance to concerns about security and stability. I just, there's no way I can wrap my brain around that as a good way to proceed. But again, that's the technical community perspective, and I understand from our previous conversations that there are other other concerns at work. So I'll just register that objection and let you proceed.
Yeah, Lyman, is this in reference to the section on say just to be clear on it, is that in reference to the section on say the section I think on confusingly similarity where there is where we mentioned say the interest needs to be balanced.
I think that's the place. It was on screen
yeah.
a moment ago, and you scrolled down. I don't have the.
No, but it's then I know, and I'll have a look at it and say I'll note the objection there because that's I think it's only fair.
Yeah. I'll just.
I bought it. Sorry.
If you look at the draft on the DNS zone code point principles. The principle that I'm talking about is the root zone is, by definition, the one DNS zone that must be shared by everybody.
Yep.
Therefore, any decision to permit a code point in the root zone should be as conservative as practicable. Doubts should always be resolved in favor of rejecting a code point for inclusion rather than in favor of including it in order to minimize risk.
Yep.
Sure. I think, we need to make a note of it. I think we don't have a problem with that.
No, absolutely not, Mel, but it's that's why we have this conversation, in order to see, because this is still a draft, if whether to improve it and if there is areas for improvement or if there is some objection.
Hi, Bart, it's Giovanni.
Giovanni.
Can I say something?
Yeah. Yes.
Hi. I fully subscribe what Lehman has just said. I think that I have went through the this monumental document that Bart kindly drafted. And I think that Lehman said should be also contextualized to the IDN fast track process in the sense that I think at the time it was launched, I think some challenges were a bit underestimated. And the point that the changes with these two working groups, IDN and PDP working groups, the changes that you know, we are trying to introduce are to better frame the entire process. And I also would like to understand and also highlight the point that basically it is true that we have a technical community, and the technical community so far has made statements and evaluations about confusingly similarities. What I would like to point out is that there's a scientific community, really scientific, which is, you know, nothing less than the technical community, that they've made studies since the 50s about confusingly similarities. And I think that the changes, would, you know, that we are now talking about, those changes, they would like to take into account this scientific aspect too. So I don't think the intention is to override or to hamper the security of anything, but just to take into consideration something that could even, let's say, add something extra to the entire ICANN framework for IDN CCTLDs, in the sense that there could be a more scientific background of certain evaluations, instead of, like it happened for .u, and I'm very public about that, instead of receiving a paper that say that a certain string is rejected following a subjective assessment. And I think subjective assessment is a strong, let's say, is a strong word, in the sense that you know, it cannot be accepted, especially when you can have a scientific background. So I would say that again, there's no intention. This is what I see, to override anything. There's just intention to refine a process.
Yeah, this is Lyman. I agree with you. What I don't understand is why that intelligence or that additional level of scientific understanding of the issue, why that should not be part of the first review. Why should that only be part of the second review? That sounds to me like something that very much ought to be taken into account by the group that does the first review.
Which would mean, Lyman, that we would have to form some kind of hybrid panel, which I had understood was a fairly challenging exercise.
Why a hybrid? This sounds like information and understanding of issues and so forth that ought to be incorporated in the work of any panel that's looking at the issue of confusing similarity. It just seems like due diligence. I don't know why you would not do it the first time around.
Well, it's an interesting point. We should take that up. But we should take that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For us to do that.
Yeah, and I got Vagelis first, and then Jaap. Vagelis?
Yes, Bart. First of all, I must say that I agree with Giovanni. It is very interesting to see that. There has been some work in confusability in areas different than the DNS, and it should be somehow incorporated in the way the review panel is reviewing the decisions of the first panel, which is mostly DNS oriented. So that's a comment for that. And then I have to add two more comments on two pages that you scrolled down from. Is it now the time to do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. If you go to page 13 of the document.
I'll scroll up for those.
Okay.
Just a minute.
A little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. At the last paragraph, which says classification of input that ICANN should develop, the very last statement is says that this classification must also take into account that significantly interested parties should agree that the selected string is the appropriate one and that other stakeholders have some voice in selecting the manager. I don't understand that.
No, this is a quotation from... Thank you for pointing this out. This was the adjustment of the significantly interested parties for this process, and as explained, this should change to string. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. And in page 18, and I must ask you to go down again.
Yeah.
All right, at the second bullet of the page, which is a little bit up. Little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, there we have it. In order to ensure consistency of interpretation across the IDN CCTLD string selection process and new GTLT process, ICANN suggested to appoint the same panel for the two processes if the standard for and the methodology and criteria to determine confusibility confusingly similarity are the same. Now, there I have a problem, because I know that there are 1,900 applications for GTLDs, and if we say there you must have the same panel, or we suggest you have the same panel, then for a CCTLD you'll have to wait for 3 years.
So, Vangelis, that's accepted, but we have a huge issue here, which we need to deal with, which is that it is inconceivable that you could have two separate panels judging the same criteria with such a high level of non-scientific, if you like, judgment. We will end up with a series of precedents being set across two different panels for GTLDs and CCTLDs that will effectively cause us to end up being wrapped up in litigation forever.
Okay.
People will claim that panel A is finding is a precedent that indicates that panel B's finding is wrong.
It's
almost impossible for us to deal with it on the basis of two separate panels, I would argue.
All right, this objection is noted, but my question then is, should the CCTLD enjoy some kind of faster track than the GTLDs? Yeah. Because
an interesting and separate question.
Right.
But a valid one nonetheless. But I would, purely from a legal point of view, when I'm wearing my lawyer's hat, it is just massively unwise to have a circumstance where we have two totally different independent panels sitting on the same issue. In circumstances where you don't have a binary calculation, you have, at least to some extent, a subjective view.
All right.
I'm not saying that we have necessarily a solution.
For the CCTLDs to have some kind of more speedy way of checking them, because they usually are of necessity to a much bigger audience, maybe.
Possibly.
Put that in quotes.
Possibly. Let's note that and see if we can find a way around.
I'll include that as, Vangelis, could you send me a note on that, say, I've captured this one on the, but your concern on say, with the two panels.
Okay.
Note it, because then I'll include that as a note as well. Yap, Vangelis, any more comments or questions?
Maybe later.
Okay. Yap.
Yes, I've got a technical question, remark. I mean, I noticed that the Lyman draft has been expired.
Yeah.
In April. And I'm not sure whether it will continue. What I do know is that this actually in preparation in the IAB follow-up on this draft, and I'm not sure whether it's published or not, but that might be better. So I'll send you the details. And,
yes, please. Yes, please. So that's if you. Sorry.
I mean, it's always bad form to refer to drafts, especially when they are expired. But
The
IAOD is preparing something.
Yeah, as you may have noted, it's in the technical criteria. This was one of the two questions that was open, whether it's still valid or not. So, I'm not sure. So, because it was suggested at the time by Patrick to include it as a reference. But if it's superseded, then please send your comments.
Yes, I'll do it.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Vagelis, you still have your hand up. You still have a question or comment?
Sorry for that, I'll take the hand down.
Okay, thank you. I heard Lyman.
Yes, about a half hour ago at the beginning of the call, I sent a note to Lars Johan Lehmann, asking him what the status of that document was. So we may know before the call is over.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
No, but at least say the intention was, and probably you all noted, the intention is to include such a reference just to make sure that, say, the technical criteria are met. And I know Patrick suggested it, but I'm not sure about the status. So that was one of the questions for Patrick and for other people involved in the technical community. So any other questions relating to this specific topic on the processes for validation? No? Then I think I do have one more point for discussion. And I need to scroll back. That is still an open question as well. That is with regard to the number of characters. I'm almost there. Come on. As some of you may know, one of the recommendations of the joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN working group was to was its recommendation to include also IDN strings of one character. And I know this is still pending. The question is whether or not to include the reference or whether or not to allow one character IDN CCTLDs
As part of this policy?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'll tell you why no. Unless we're going to make a distinction between scripts that are I forget the correct term, pictographic scripts, Japanese, Korean, Chinese, etc., as opposed to alphabetic scripts, specifically Greek and Cyrillic, then we are in grave danger of causing huge confusion and problems. We would need, in my view, to discuss single character ASCII in order to allow single character IDNs, unless we limit them to a different type of script. And if we do that, that's fine, but we need to go through a whole process of discussing how we're going to do that. And that's going to slow down the process significantly, in my view.
And so what I could do is include a reference that the working group is aware of this discussion, but this discussion is still ongoing. And that, put in place a placeholder.
I'm happy to do that, but I can tell you that the ICANN board won't, at this stage, agree to single character IDNs across all scripts. It's too much of a stretch, and we would need to take a serious look at the type of script and the effect that would have.
So this is a point of further clarification in future, as with the placeholder.
Effectively providing the ability to register, just to take an example, dot epsilon, which would block dot e, which in the same way that dot e would block dot epsilon, and that's just serious policy development not acceptable.
No, but on the other hand, say you do have, and I don't see this as an issue as say under the IDN CCTLD selection process, it still needs to be a meaningful representation of the name of a country or territory.
Sure, I accept that, but even it doesn't change the fact that actually opening up and allowing single characters is still allowing single characters. I mean, we can have a huge debate about what is a character, and are we referring to Unicode characters, are we referring to character in the script, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but it's fine, so I'll put it in a placeholder. Anybody else on this topic? Because it was one of the open questions.
Right, I believe we do not need to address it unless... there is some evidence that there is some country or territory somewhere which has a single character name in some script. And we have no evidence whatsoever for that at this point. And so until we have some evidence for that, I think we don't need to really worry about it for CCTLD.
Okay, then I'll just put it... Sorry?
That's a very valid point, Gannis. No, that's a very valid point.
Yeah. So I'll include a reference there as well to that point and say that it will be revisited in time.
Yeah,
okay. That's all I had on my list. What I'll do is I'll include, say, if the comments you've made and the say the suggestions by email, I'll include it in an updated version and I'll send it prior to Prague, so hopefully the working group could finalize it on Thursday, because then we have something to really send to the public and for public comment, because that still needs to happen.
So that's the goal, Bart, is it to sign off on the panel meeting, sorry, the working group meeting on Thursday in Prague?
Yep.
But
okay.
Can I add a very last comment?
Yes, of course, Vangelis.
On page 23, on the review of policy for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings,
yeah.
The proposed time for the next review is 5 years, although it says within 5 years, it's actually 5 years as it is drafted. I feel it's kind of much, let's say. I would propose something like 3 years, maybe.
Well, again, Vangelis, if you send a note to the list, we can put that in as a 5/3 for discussion.
Yeah.
It sounds fine, but let's get it noted in writing, and we can go from there.
The reason for 5 years was there is now also if there is a real need. To do it earlier, then it can be done, but there is also this, say, the advisory to the board if there are any issues with interpreting the policy. And, say, experience has shown that reviews could take quite some time. The review itself wouldn't take much time, but, again, to change it, because that's, again, a long and painful process. So you don't want to do it too often. So that was the consideration. But I'll make it explicit in the comments, or say in the notes and comments for the next version.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think, unless there are any other points, I think we just need to, Bart, you'll make the necessary changes and pieces, and we'll gather on Thursday in Prague and see if we can sign off on a document for public comment, yes?
Yes, that's the intention.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate everybody coming onto the call. I know that those of us that are here are missing the exciting press conference that's currently happening in London to reveal the 1,900 and whatever it is names on the list. My favourite so far has been that there are three or four applications for .spot. I'm completely and utterly amazed that anybody would want to apply for .spot, but apparently a number of people do.
I also heard .sucks.
Oh, well, .sucks I can understand. Yep.
It's only once or twice.
A bit of fun. There was about four or five applications for .sucks. I can understand that. But,
so there was going to be an option on .sucks.
There was an option on .sucks. But .spot blows me away completely. I have no clue why I applied for .spot.
Well, that's
anyway.
One that might be that's one that might be similar to something, but I don't think it will ever be confusing.
Okay.
I'm going to go to bed now. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye.